All right, hello and welcome to another episode of the Long Ball Football Podcast, a weekly podcast by two brothers about all things football in Portugal. You listen to myself, Albert, and as always, I'm joined by my brother, Barney. How are you doing, Barney? How's things?
Yeah, good. Little sad today to see the passing of Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Very sad, yeah.
I had a lot of love for as an England fan, and it wasn't only really to the last few years that I realised he had such a history. With Benfica as well. Obviously, he was doing that sort of tour. Was it last season where he went to see some of his former clubs, and that was quite It was sad to see him pass, but like my abiding memory is the 5-1 win against Germany for England, which is one of the best games I've ever seen. he's a head of a manager, isn't he? He's done a lot of good at a lot of different countries.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's achieved a lot, didn't he? And he worked all over the world. And even in his later career as well, he was working, I don't think he managed Ivory Coast, and he worked in Asia, he managed the Philippines. So yeah, he did an awful lot in his career. So yeah, very, very sad to hear that news. Saw some really nice tributes online, which was good, not just from Benfica, but from other Portuguese clubs and clubs all around the world. But yeah, very sad to see that. It's going to be a slightly different episode today, Bonnie. We should... I guess apologise in advance. It's probably going to be a bit shorter. In the UK, it is a bank holiday weekend. It means we get an extra day off work, but it just means everyone's more busy. So me and Barney have only got a short window in which to record this. So we're going to do something slightly different, although I'm actually quite excited by this idea. Usually we pick sort of four or five key games and we analyse them a bit more in depth and spend a bit more time talking about them. This week, we're just going to run through every single fixture and give you guys our thoughts on every game. And I'm looking forward to this, Barney, because in that early stage of the season, it's definitely the case that there's just certain teams that you don't get a chance to talk about for a while, and they're doing well, but they never make it onto the main podcast. So I think this will be a good opportunity to perhaps talk about some of the teams that we haven't yet, which will be good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll sort of highlight our sort of lack of knowledge.
Well, shall we get started then, Barney? We'll do it chronologically. And let's start with Friday night's game. Sporting beat Farense 5-0 away from home. Another big win. They followed up that 6-1 away win at Nacional. They went down to the Algarve and scored five goals. Three goals from Victor Jokeres, an own goal, and a goal for Marcus Edwards. I'm not sure entirely, Barney, what to keep saying about Sporting, because the first few weeks we've just been going on about, the key talking point has been that they're continuing their form from last season. One thing I was thinking during this game, however, was that I think it is worth acknowledging that on current form, as things stand, Sporting are far and away the best team in the league. There is no other team close to them. Benfica are not close to them. Porto have looked good, and they did beat them in the Supertaça, of course, but I don't think are on the same level. I think Sporting really reacted to that Supertaça loss. You know, they went 3-0 up and we thought, here we go again. This is going to be Sporting season once again. Perhaps they let that complacency slip into their game in that match, and I think they responded to that really well with three really, really good performances. The latest, of course, being this 5-0 win at Farense. Obviously, Farense have not started the season brilliantly, so perhaps not the toughest opposition. But once again, just no mistakes made, complete dominance, and a team with some fantastic players and a fantastic manager playing at a really high level.
Yeah, they're not sort of taking their foot off the gas at all. You know, this is it's obviously going to be a long season this year with the extended Champions League. But there's been no sign of sort of resting players, you know, Amrin has been taking players off. But even then, Albert, he's taking, like, you know, Marcus Edwards came on the 72nd minute, the Bas came 72nd minute. Like, he's not really, like, giving many players a rest. And it's, I don't know, I've mentioned this before, that I feel like it's all about sort of getting in front and it's sustaining that lead. I think that's what they're good at. I guess personally, I just worry a little bit about potential injuries come later in the season. At the time of talking, they haven't quite got a Jokeres replacement, which has been, like, they've been trying for a while now. It's been pretty clear. It's been across all the press about how they're trying to get the Greek striker in from Panathinaikos. Hasn't materialized yet. I'm not sure if that's sort of fizzling out now. And Gyökeres had his injury last season. He's obviously got himself
They
back.
also tried with a striker from Barcelona as well, but that didn't work either, Vitor Roque,
Oh
and
yeah,
that.
of course, yeah.
So it seems like twice they've gone for a striker and they haven't got their man, which is, as you say,
So
a bit worrying if Gyökeres, the transfer window is still open.
yeah, but then it is that balance, isn't it? Like I think it is vitally important to get yourself ahead in this league, and it's easier to stay there than to catch up. Yeah, maybe you don't, and maybe you it would have been naive to identify Ferenc away as an easy game, or as easy as it turned out to be. But hey, yes, I mean, everyone's performing so well, and you want to keep that momentum, I guess. Marita had a, I think last week I sort of did Marita a disservice and sort of suggesting he was sort of the weakest midfielder. He had a really good game. I think he's just maybe it's easy to sort of not notice him because he does such a tidy job of, and he's good at putting getting the play forward as well. He's actually like a really good player compared to when you compare him to Bergkamp, Hjulmand, he's really decent. It's just more of the same, isn't it? And I think it's vitally important that they keep this up.
Ferenc, I mean, but if three losses in their first three games, I don't think that's something that we would have predicted, really. I mean, when you look at, obviously, when you look at the lineup, it's not outstanding. There are obviously inexperienced players there. There is some quality. We talk about Bellumi; he's still there, and Velho, the goalie. So some of the names from last season that we were banging on about are still there. Claudio Falcao, the midfielder, is not bad, but there isn't a lot of quality. Same manager. And yet they just seem to be really struggling at this early stage of the season. It's if I'm being totally honest, it's not quite what I expected, because especially in the first couple of games, there were points there for them to take, but they couldn't do it. And they now find themselves going, well, they've got one weekend left, but going into an international break, and they haven't won a single game. In fact, they've lost every game this season, which is obviously a real worry.
Yeah, I think they're sort of a good example of how it's hard to sign players in this league, of quality, or to players that can actually improve the level, because it only takes a couple of players to leave, and to fill those holes. It's actually pretty difficult to identify players of a, I don't know, to you're not, sometimes you get duds, don't you? Sometimes you get decent players, yeah, it feels like they've sort of dropped off a little bit in terms of the quality on the in their squad. Players, individuals leaving, like their strikers, Bruno Duarte, Rui Costa, Mateus in midfield as well, is an experienced player for this league. So they've certainly lost, and the people they've brought in seems to be slightly more inexperienced signings, a couple of Spanish players. So yeah, it just seems to be that, for me anyway, the level certainly dropped a little bit. And I do anticipate the two players you mentioned of quality, Bellumi and Velho. I just sort of feel that they might go at some point. Velho, he's doing a hell of a job at sort of putting himself in the shop window still. He's, despite shipping the 5 goals in this game, still putting a few good saves. So yeah, I wonder. I think they could be potentially be one of the ones to worry about this season. It looks like they're going to struggle.
Well, from one team struggling to another, Barney, as Casapia lost again their third consecutive game at home against Santa Clara. Wasn't helped by a late red card, but by that point they were already losing. A team that's really, really struggled. They've not made a good impression at the first part of the season. They seem to struggle a lot defensively. And that's despite the arrival of Jose Font. And again, Barney, I feel really, really worried about this team, because it's a team with a very small budget. It's a team which doesn't have access to incredible players. And if they're losing to the likes of Santa Clara, as they did in this game, 2-0, newly promoted side, they haven't really even been tested this season, and still the early results have been pretty worrying.
Yeah, there's compared to Ferenc, I would say the majority of the squad's still there, so it feels like I was sort of less worried about Casapia, but yeah, things haven't clicked yet. Certainly, they need to. We talked a lot, quite a bit on the show last week about their sort of the manager they've got, and Yeah, his potential and experience, although he has had success in the third division. So yeah, it's things need to settle fast. And it feels like, well, one thing I've been putting a lot on recently is the sort of the continuity from a team from the last season. And there is a lot of continuity in this team. You know, I've talked about the midfield, the fullbacks, Larrazabal and Lelo, both ex in my opinion, excellent, or the
I
potential
agree.
to be excellent. Although Larrazabal got the two yellows in this in this game, which didn't help them. Nuno Moreira as well, a player I quite like in the attacking position. So there's a lot of quality still there. They just seem to be lacking in front of goal. And so yeah, they do seem to be struggling in finding the go finding goals really. So that needs to change fast.
Well, I think statistics are quite interesting in this game, Barney, and they do actually paint an interesting picture because they've remarkably even. The difference being, okay, so Casapia have 10 shots, an XG of 0.79 from 10 shots, no goals. And then Santa Clara have 8 shots, an XG of 0.69, but they somehow managed to score 2 goals. So it kind of, I don't know whether to take from that that Casapia are a little bit unlucky. And you know how it is sometimes when you're playing badly and you're in poor form, things aren't going your way. But on the other hand, I just think clearly they're not productive enough in front of goal, and clearly they're not good enough defensively because they're conceding goals from very few chances. Of course, we do need to look at this from a positive perspective for Santa Clara, who, as a newly promoted side, now make that 2 wins from 3. Obviously, they had an excellent opening day win against Estoril, where they won 4-1. They followed that up today with a 2-0 win against Casapia, which is excellent. I think it was on our pre-season preview show, Barney, we were talking about which players to keep an eye out for. I was a big fan of the number 11, Gabriel Silva, who got a goal in this game. And then Ricardinho got the second. So,
Forgot about him.
well, quite exactly. So it's been a very good start to the season for Santa Clara. Currently find himself in fifth place, obviously excellent for them. But they have shown to me, Barney, what you want to see from a newly promoted team, which is that they're a team with players who've got quality needed in this league. And I think they've shown that in the few games that they've played, but also that there's a momentum behind them and there's a positivity, which is so vital, and a winning mentality. So early days, obviously, but for me, quite an impressive start from Santa Clara.
And I think to be fair to them as well, because you know we've been doing this podcast a few seasons now, and we have seen quite a few teams go down, and actually more often than not, they've actually taken a while to come back up. So for Santa Clara to bounce back up the way they have, and you've seen it in the sort of the way that their acquisitions, one of the players, you know, a lot of players we were talking about when they were last up, so they've managed to keep that squad together, and they've actually were quite smart last season. I mean, one of the players that stood out in this game for me, Pedro Ferreira, who they signed from Aalborg in Denmark in January. So like, you know, they were sort of, I guess, bold as well as to sort of pick up players that they knew would be able to do it to make that step up. So that's really helped them having that continuity coming up. And I think they're looking really good. I think that, you know, Vasco Matos has done a good job, and the system they play works. Everyone seems to know what they're doing. And as you say, Albert Gabriel Silva, I think, is a player we really need to keep an eye on, because he's had a really good start to the season.
Very much so. All right, let's move on, Bonnie. Talk about Porto now, who won 2-0 at home against Rio Ave. They scored, Barney, the quickest goal ever scored at the Estádio Dragão, Galeno. And it was a wonderful finish, by the way. I don't know if anybody's seen that. That was fantastic. And they followed that up. Nico Gonzalez in the 30th minute made it 2-0. So a very good, solid win for them. Rio Ave, Barney, obviously, we spoke about them as a team to keep an eye on this season, perhaps with some interesting players that they've signed. However, they have now played Porto and Sporting in 2 of their first 3 games of the season. So a bit difficult for them to get any momentum going. And I don't think, if we're being honest, they really ever managed to make a mark on this game, which is probably fair enough. You know, it's always difficult for a smaller team to go to a place like the Estádio Dragão and get a win. But they're very good for Porto. Galeno, again, good for him to get on the score sheet. Good for Nico Gonzalez to get on the score sheet. And it's all very good for Porto at the moment. You know, they've got players in good form. Even Jaime, obviously in excellent form. The forward line seems to be working really well. Some young players coming through. So very positive signs for Porto at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, great for them to get the early goal as well. A friend of the show, Nino Torres, was sort of saying it should be considered a Puskás. I mean, it was nice. It was a really smart finish from Galeno, but I don't know if it was Puskás standard. But still, I mean, Jaime Jamie's had an incredible start, really. Like, so good. It's pretty impressive. And I think he's sort of nailed his spot. I mean, it's going to be interesting to how there's talks about them trying to sign a left back, isn't there? But it's working with Galeno there at the moment, and Ivan Jamie being able to
Well, I
play
wouldn't.
well.
I'm desperate to see what they do in a game against a bigger club, whether the manager sticks with that or what happens.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's reaping the rewards there. I guess the thing we could perhaps look at is, you know, they had 23 shots in this game, but only two goals. So, like, maybe there's an issue. We've just been talking about Sporting and their dominance and finishing and getting high scoring games. So maybe that's an area they can improve. They've certainly done that this week in two of their surprise signings. You know, AVB has managed to get some money from somewhere. And is it Samu, the striker from Atletico Madrid, who is all but through the door at Chelsea? So that's a pretty good coup from Porto to get him in, and a young Swedish striker as well, which is obviously nice for us to be able to compare him to the other Swedish striker in this league. They'll be hoping he can be similar. But so yeah, maybe that's the area that they felt needed to improve the most. I wonder if they will be active for the rest of the window. I think they certainly will try to, potentially, but it's working really well at the moment. There's a real fluidity to the attack, something we haven't been able to describe Porto as having for a while. You know, Pepe came back into this game playing on the right. The midfield for me, Albert, is the area I'm most enjoying. Nico Gonzalez playing slightly further forward, Vasco Souza being able to come in. And of course, we've got Fabio Vieira coming back to the club as well, which is huge. It's really significant for Porto because he's a, you know, I think for most of this transfer window, we were expecting very little activity potentially. And then, you know, it feels like they're, you know, certainly two huge signings in Samu and Fabio Vieira. That really improves the team. So it's looking good for them.
Well, it's definitely they've burst into life in the transfer market. I think because there's also some departures as well. So interested to get your thoughts on this because David Carmo leaves for 11 million. I mean, I don't like this, Barney, because he's been signed by Nottingham Forest and then officially and then loaned to Olympiacos. Feels a bit dodgy. But David Carmo leaves for 11 million euros. He was signed from Braga for 20 million euros just 2 seasons ago. And then it does look like Francisco Conceição will be leaving. An incredible bit of business, Barney, because they've somehow managed to get a potential 10 million euro fee for a 1 year loan to Juventus, which is an insane bit of business. So from that perspective, good money coming in. And then, as you say, the signing, Samu Amorodon, 20-year-old Spanish striker from Atletico Madrid, 15 million euros for 50% of the players. Dennis Gull, the Swedish striker from Hammarby, 4.5 million, million euros. Also, Fabio Vieira from Arsenal. What a huge signing that's going to be. Really excited to see him come back. And I've seen today on Twitter that they're buying a winger from Barcelona, Angel Alarcón, who seems to be a kind of a wide forward coming in. So suddenly, there's a lot of business happening after a pretty tame transfer window. Two strikers brought in, a winger brought in, and an attacking midfielder brought in. So they're looking to reinforce the attack. I think it is all very positive because it looks like good deals. I think the positive thing that we're seeing is what looks like good business, which I think is good to see after a few sort of perhaps more questionable deals done in the past. I think that the loss of Chico Conceição is obviously huge because I loved him as a player, but he hasn't even been used so far this season, and they seem to be doing fine without him. So from that perspective, I think it's, again, good business.
Yeah. And, you know, Real Madrid's a team also have been very active, but there's been, I think, Luis Freire seems to be taking a while to let those new players come into the team and have an effect. Although, you know, Kiko Bundos and Morai on the wings for this game, but either side of Clayton is a new front line, which we haven't
lovely,
seen.
Lovely options there.
It is, but we haven't seen the best of them yet, but there's still time. Great result for Porto. And you did text me that statistic about, is it 25 games they haven't, Real have, is it lost away 25 games in a row? Which is pretty bad. although you weren't necessarily going to do that against Porto, were you?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, the next game was Benfica, who got an important 1-0 win over Estrela Amador. Perhaps I would have hoped for a bit more of a blockbuster affair, but a win is a win, and 3 points is 3 points. Goal from Erkan Kocu. Good for him to get first goal of the season. And generally, Barney, I think the pleasing thing about this game was that it was a little bit more of a comfortable win, less stressful, because the start of the season hasn't exactly been that positive. I mean, there's not an awful lot I think we can say about Benfica at this point, especially from this game. One player that I was pleased to see have a good game, and I think he's had a good start to the season, is Thomas Araujo, the centre back, because he's always kind of been overlooked a little bit at Benfica. Obviously, Antonio Silva is the star boy there at centre back, and Araujo was on loan at Gil Vicente and did really well. But I think it's probably perhaps achievements at Gil Vicente were a little bit overshadowed for me. Araujo really has the quality to be starting for Benfica. I think he's excellent player, not just defensively but on the ball. I'm really happy to see him play well, and I think he's a really, really welcome addition to Benfica's defence.
Yeah, I mean, rumors that Crystal Palace room for a bit for him, but he seems to be Schmidt seems to be using him a lot this season, which is good to see. Silva on the bench for this game, so as is Morato. So I think, yeah, vitally important to keep, and he's really good in there. And I think maybe my criticisms of Silva is that sometimes there's been feels like once or two times he's been caught out, but I haven't really felt that of Roger. So yeah, we'll see how the centre back partnerships developed throughout the season. I think I feel like I say the same thing a lot about Benfica, but I mean, if it has felt like force changes once again sort of make the difference.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Kocu coming in was great. Alisson's coming off injured sort of changed things as well. I mean, that is a little bit of a worry because I think Gouveia came on and he came off injured. I think he's out for a few. That's a good chunk of time now, so it's not something I feel qualified to say, but it does seem worry me a bit when you see a lot of players getting injured at the start of the season. Like, what's happened with the preseason? What was the training been like? Have they been prepared properly? So that and then Benfica have had their injury issues in the past, so hopefully that won't be a similar tale this year. But otherwise, yeah, this was better for them. Things were starting to tick. Di Maria got on the pitch as well. Havertz with this assist looking good.
Renato Sanchez, Barney.
Which he came as a great applause. I thought Karrasch has had another really good game. I really like him at left back. I feel like Best will start when he's fit, but I think Karrasch is doing a great job at sort of proving what he can bring. He feels more like Grimaldo, doesn't he? Like he's getting forward. He seems good in the past. So. Yeah, that's good to see. So yeah, this was, despite just being by the one goal, this was a much better performance from them.
I was just about to move on without realizing we haven't even mentioned Estrela Amadora. I mean, I don't want to damn them with faint praise, but perhaps the 1-0 loss isn't as bad as it could have been. Although Anatoly Trubin had precisely zero saves to make in the game, so a bit of a shame perhaps that they couldn't impose themselves more in the game. But always a difficult task, so we'll let them off for that. The next game, Barney, I want to talk about Famalicão 1, Boavista 0. Famalicão, a team that people would have heard us spoken about a lot this season. They now make it 3 wins from 3. That includes the opening 2-0 win over Benfica, sorry, on the first day of the season. Gustavo Sarr, the young prodigy attacking midfielder, scored in the 6th minute. Great goal from him. And it continues another an excellent start to the season. 3 wins in their first 3 games. They're really catching a lot of people's eyes. They've got a lot of good players in that squad, and I think there's a lot of excitement about this team, Barney. And I think rightly so, because when you look at the quality that they've got and you look at the way they're playing, there's a real feeling that this is a team that could surprise a few people this year, maybe.
Well, I mean, yeah, because despite being 1-0, this was still a really dominant performance from them. They were complete control of this game, I'd say. Never really troubled by Boavista. Yeah, I mean, all the players we've shouted out before, because it was great to see Gustavo Sarr get man of the match and a goal, because he's always performs incredibly well. But I'm getting excited about their right back, Caligari, that, a new signing. He's looking good. I guess is the Zlombin came in, Ivan Zlombin, the Russian goalkeeper, came in. And I remember, before Lewis Junior, he was quite a highly rated keeper for a while. But, obviously lost his spot to Lewis Junior. So, but that once again, it's sort of credit to their squad. Another goalkeeper's come in with good quality. I mean, talks of Francisco Moura moving to Porto, whether that will come and how much of an effect that will have, because he seems, you get a lot from him, both going forward and backwards.
He's
Although
the
they have
club
Gil,
cap. He's the club captain as well, by the way.
yeah, so that would be quite significant. Although Gil Diaz might be able to start in there, another good player for this league. So yeah, they're absolutely fantastic, man. They could really do something this year if they manage to keep those players together for, how many days
Yeah.
we got left now. It's like
Five or six, yeah.
we're getting closer, but yeah, I mean, they're looking excellent, so good.
We've not been super complimentary. I think the main thing we've been saying about them is that they look to have a lot of commitment and a lot of self-belief. They weren't awful in this game by any means. I think the 1-0 was probably pretty fair. They weren't blown away. They matched Famalicão in quite a few ways. I guess the only question I have for you on Boa Vista is, after three games, having at the beginning of the season, a lot of people thought they were going to go down and they were going to be one of the weaker teams in the league. Do you still think that's a possibility? Do you still think that they'll struggle? But I personally, looking at them now, feel a lot more confident in the way that they're playing, that they'll have enough. I doubt they'll trouble the top end of the table very much, but they do just seem to have enough experience. Enough togetherness and enough commitment to be able to get through most games. Obviously, not this one, but they've already got points on the board. They're already in the 11th place. So, in that sense, it's been an okay start to the season for them.
I'm looking at Bosnić, Albert, because I feel like he hasn't had a great start to the season. Obviously, had the rumours about a move.
Well, he must be
Well, that's what I mean,
half an eye
and
on leaving,
so that's the thing. Like, you've got that sort of catch. He feels like they can't lose him because, like, the quality of striker they have. But then, if he's not performing, like, yeah, it's that balance. But maybe they need to ship him before they can, because they've still got players they need to register that they've signed. Is that right? So,
Possibly,
they
possibly.
might need to
Yeah.
shift some wages. I don't know, but that striking position, because they're going to need goals to stay up, obviously. I feel like midfield, actually, in terms of midfield and defense, they're a pretty solid team there. So yeah, that could be the area that would be the biggest issue for them. But it's been a hell of a yeah a lot better start than I thought it was going to be for them. So yeah, that's a good sign.
A team, Barney, that got their first win of the season, that I think will make no bones about being pleased on, is Arouca winning their first game of the season 1-0, and a debut goal for Henrique Araújo, the striker on loan from Benfica, a player that I think a lot of people had high hopes for. He's got his first goal in an Arouca shirt, and they beat Nacional 1-0 at home. It's not been great, Barney, start of the season. It's not been great. They've had a lot of new players to bed in. They've got a new manager trying to guide the team in a new direction. Some positives from the game, certainly, obviously the win, also the return of Christo Gonzalez and that front four of Jason, Christo, Morlaj Sylla, and Henrique Araújo. That's a front four that can trouble a lot of teams. So that's a real positive. But it does seem like perhaps at the back with the new goalkeeper and new players in the defense, that they're still trying to find their feet, perhaps. But this will have been a much, much needed boost to their confidence.
Yeah, I think Christo coming back in the team feels significant. Couldn't really tell why he was out. Maybe he was just sort of getting back to match fitness, but I was worried that he was angling for a move. But yeah, to have him still on the team is huge, and coming back in be great for, Henrique Araújo to find a home here and get some
Yeah.
goals, because he's been fairly, it feels like he's needed to come on for a while and he hasn't yet. So this could be a good move for him. Yeah, I look at the defense, Albert. I think there's potential there. I'm excited to see what Chico Lamba can do. But obviously, there's new relationships to be built. I feel like Samao and Taiji Fuki is an interesting midfield too. I sort of saw Fuki as a sort of attacking player Portman ends, and
It's a bit of an odd couple, isn't it, Barney?
and
The 40-year-old Portuguese and this little Japanese—he's not 40 years old. I'm exaggerating, but it's a bit of an odd couple situation.
first win for them is good to get things going. So yeah, that's big for them. Whereas Senior Nacional, but it just yet very much yet to find their feet, I think.
Yeah, only 1 point from 3 games, we should say, and that was an opening day draw against AVS.
Arvanapi has been dropped, so Macedo came in for this game, but didn't do Ruben Macedo, but didn't do much himself. Nigel Thomas has been a welcome addition, obviously, but I haven't really seen enough of them to sort of say exactly where the issue are, but their points are important, so they don't want to change things soon.
Absolutely. A nil-nil draw, Barney. Not something we usually talk about on a podcast, but one we're going to do today. Estoril and Gil Vicente. The first time that Ian Cathro has been on the touchline in the home stadium. In some ways, and again, I do this all the time, but I'm damning them with faint praise. It's a first point of the season for Estoril, and in some ways, it is an improvement because there was solidity. When you look back just 2 games when they're conceding 4 goals at home against Santa Clara to now get to this point when they're not conceding any goals against Gil Vicente, albeit, Gil Vicente not the toughest team to play in the world. But it is a positive sign. And I think what we're seeing with Estoril is that this is more of a project than perhaps we thought at the beginning of the season. And perhaps there is a bit more of a rebuild than we really recognised early on.
Rumors of Rafi Gaitán on his way to Braga potentially, but there has been quite a lot of players coming in and out the team.
Well, he's not really contributed. I don't think he played this game, did he?
He came on the as a sub
Okay.
81st minute, but yeah, he hasn't really featured under Ian Cathro, so
A
there's
player of
definitely
that quality to, you need him to be firing if you can have any chance. He's the best player in that club if when he's playing well. But for him to not be contributing is disappointing.
But yeah, once again, that we don't know this what's going on. He might be angling for a move himself. Helder Costa came into the side, got 60 minutes, but didn't really do much. I think that's you described it really well there, Albert, as it being sort of a project, and as we said a few last week, we just hope Ian Cathro is given the time because there he needs a. It felt like he's just they decided to sort of build on. A bit more defensively sound after the hammering, so which is a good move. And yeah, I lots of players still to come in. I think they've made quite a few signings who are yet to feature. So I think that team will change as the season progresses.
And Gil Vicente looks surprisingly solid to me, Barney. It's not necessarily a word I've used often to describe Gil Vicente. They've got some interesting attacking players, and they scored 4 goals in their last game, obviously. This was a different story, very much a nil-nil. I didn't see an awful lot of attacking flair from them. But with the manager Vitor Campelos, I don't think it's unfair to say that's kind of what we would expect from him as a manager. I don't necessarily think of him as a manager who promotes free-flowing attacking football.
No. I mean, it was probably the defensive players who stood out in this game. Moura Gabban, the 23-year-old from Ivory Coast, had a really good display in that defensive midfield role. He has to do a lot of work when he's partnered alongside Maxime Dominguez, defensively. So, and he feels like he's had a good start to the season, actually, and a good end to last season. So, he at 23 years old, he might be an up and comer. I was excited to see Jordi Mbula come on the pitch because I think that's a really good sign. He adds quality to the attack. But yeah, I think it's. I think I like the fullbacks, Carlos and Sandro Cruz. And then yeah, you look at the two centre backs, Ruben Fernandes and Boatu,
Good
experienced
players,
players.
good players.
I say it's a good squad, Gil Vicente, actually. Maybe they'll be able to do something this season, but still feels like they need to come together a bit more.
Barney, for the first time this season, Vitória lost a game and conceded a goal as they lost 1-0 away at AVS. I don't want to call it a smash and grab, but I think it's fair to say that Vitória dominated the game. Although AVS had their moments, especially in that period when they got the goal, and Obviously, fantastic to see Nene scoring again. He proved that he's not a flash in the pan at 41 years old in the Premier League. You know, it wasn't just the one-off him getting his goal. I think it was last week. Two goals for the season. He's now in the top 10, the league's top goal scorers. See how long he can make that last. But I think it was an interesting game for Vitória. Obviously, the first time they tasted defeat in a competitive game under the new manager. So it's you know, something they've got to bounce back from. It comes before a very important game in the Europa Conference League when they could qualify for the group stage. So they need to make sure that they don't let it affect them. But I think for me, Barney, that with this game in Vitória, the reality is they're probably going to have games like this. They're going to have games where they're knocking at the door constantly. You know, they're pushing and pushing, but they just can't quite get a goal against a team who's maybe trying to shut them out. And in this game, they got a taste of their own medicine and lost. But it's the sort of game that they're going to have to learn how to play in, because teams are going to be wary of them now, and they're going to see them as a real threat and a strong team. And a lot more teams are going to go into games against Vitória, looking to nullify them and shut them out. And I think they're going to find that difficult at times.
Yeah, I think, well, for me, that it just showed maybe not a reliance, but how important Thiago Silva is to that team in sort of breaking down defenses and keeping, creating things. He was out for this game, so that sort of showed, I think. It has been a packed schedule right from the off for them, so there's a bit of that, and they will have a lot of their heads will be on that European game, because that's so big and they're so close. So maybe this was in the pipeline. I thought very good defending from AVS. Really, it's a two new centre backs. It's Baptiste Roux, not a player I'm too familiar with, but an experienced French player. So a good signing there, and Christian Devenish, a young sort of Colombian defender who never really made it at Rio Ave. So and that Kiki is obviously a really good left back. So AVS, it feels like we've said this every year now, but the Premier teams all come up and looks pretty good. The AVS have always got a goal in them, it seems, and to get 3 points against Vitória at this stage of the season is great for them. So they look comfortable in this league.
A win and a draw in their first three games is not bad at all. All right, and the last game of the weekend, Barney, was Braga 3, Moreirense 1. 2 goals from Rodrigo Salazar, one from the new striker, new winger, sorry, Martinez. A wonderful, wonderful goal if you've not seen it already. Definitely check the highlights of this game. And the consolation for Moreirense came from Assuay, that striker that we were talking about, I think, in our preview show last week. So good to see him getting on the score sheet again. Another great performance from Braga, I thought. You know, they had a bit of a dip personally in the Europa League playoff game where they drew 0-0, which I thought was a bit disappointing. But you know, they followed that up. This was probably their best performance under Carvajal. Really good game. And Rodrigo Salazar, if you want to start there, Barney, the 2 goals from midfield. This guy is really, really emerging now as a star for this team, and I think it's exciting.
Yeah, really exciting. There's a Twitter account, it's called Rising Ballers, who usually post really interest, like, they're well aware of our league, and they usually post like players that we sort of catch our eye as well, young players. But they posted about him at 25 years old. But I think that's more sort of like, well, it's a couple of things, isn't it? He's obviously had such an incredible start to the season, and he's like is a hell of a player. But also, like, at 25, like, it's that you do have late bloomers, and I think he's found a good club in Braga to sort of make that next step up and show what he can do. Becoming more important to this team than Ricardo Horta is at the moment. That's saying something. Gabri Martinez, a player I'd sort of forgotten they'd signed, but coming in and having that performance and scoring that goal,
Free agent as well, Barney.
yeah, that's a really smart bit of business, and that adds strength to their wing that the wingers. Things are looking good. I still think about what could have been with Daniel Souza, but Carlos Carvalho just feels like a safe pair of hands, and they're starting to find their well how he wants to play, and it's looking all right. It's looking good.
It might sound a bit strange, Barney, but I do wonder whether Morens will feel a little bit disappointed with this game, perhaps disappointed not to get more from this game. Very important to point out, they missed some huge chances in this game, which was a shame for them. They actually had a higher XG than Braga in this game, although they had a lot less possession, but they had some really, really big chances that they didn't take. In that sense, it does help my agenda, which is that Warren's actually play really well this season, which I think they are under Sergio Pastrotto. And I think they probably should be disappointed because they could have scored, for me, two more goals easily. And I think that could have been a very different scoreline.
Yeah, no, I've you know, they're continuing from last season. They're looking really good. Yeah, Sue, great for him to get a goal. I think he's got, yeah, I've talked about him a lot recently. But yeah, I love him. And I think an interesting one in midfield, Albert, is Sidney Tavares, the ex, you know, coming in like that. That's a, that feels like a good, a really smart signing for Morens. And, you know, adds a bit of quality. So yeah, I'm not worried about them at all. And you're right, I think they could have got more out of this game potentially, were it not for the quality of goals from Braga.
Absolutely. Well, I think we will leave it there for this week's episode. As we said, apologies, a bit more of a whistle-stop tour through Premier League of football. But we do appreciate you listening. Obviously, there will be, I believe, is it an international break next week, Barney? It might be.
Or a week after.
It might be the week after. So if not, we'll be back next week for another proper episode. But in the meantime, we should just say, thank you very much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, you can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify if you want to leave us a little review or a rating. And if you're a big fan of the show, definitely check out our Patreon page where you can become a patron for just £1 a month. And there's loads of benefits over there for you to check out. There'll be a link to that in the description of this episode. But it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Yes, next week.